I want to play this clip from Pastor Corey in a second here, because I don't know how well we're doing of what he told us to do, and I'm not. As I've said before, I'm not really concerned about a new word. I want what God is saying. And I don't want to be like unbelieving Israel who God gave this awesome promise to and just said, we're bugs and we can't do that. And that's Christ in us is greater than anything in the world. Amen. And so he gave us a mandate from heaven. And I think we maybe sometimes we hear it, but we kind of alter it a little bit. A lot of times we hear things through the ears of our experiences and things. And I think sometimes, some of us might have thought that Pastor Corey said, we need to get out into the streets. He didn't say that. He said, you need to bring people in here and tell them, you just get here and you'll be healed. Okay, go ahead and play it now.
Amen. I'm telling you, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing it going and casing the neighborhoods and saying, man, you need a healing. You need this. You need that. You got mental problems in your family. You got a kid that's under, bring them. And you want to see God move. You just bring those type of people in here and it won't be a dead church anymore.
Come on.
Amen.
Play it again.
It will be, I'm telling you, you'll see explosions of the power. Amen? I'm telling you. This is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing it going and casing the neighborhoods and saying, man, you need a healing. You need this. You need that. You got mental problems in your family. You got a kid that's under, bring them. And you want to see God move, you just bring those type of people in here. And it won't be a dead church anymore. Amen. It will be, I'm telling you, you'll see explosions of the power of God, of the glory of God. You bring those type of people in.
That's it. You like that? It won't be a dead church anymore. I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. I just want to drop this word on you in Jesus' name. And Father, we praise you. Lord, have your way. My mouth, God, speak only your words. Let my heart, God, be your vessel in Jesus' name. And let us hear what you're saying tonight. And let the Holy Ghost come and do what needs to be done in our hearts. Father, we give you the praise and the glory. What I wanted to change on the commercial, or maybe add to it. You can say, we got hot music. You can tell them that if you want. But what you really want to tell them beyond that is saying, you got problems? Come, and God is going to touch you. Come on, stick your neck out a little bit. I mean, what's going to happen? If you tell them, nothing happens, don't come back. You know, they don't have to come back. If they got problems, they've probably been to the doctor 100 times. I want to encourage you with a capital E to do what Pastor Corey said to do. To have the faith, to have the chutzpah. Is that how you pronounce it? To believe that God is going to do what he said he would do. He said if two or three are gathered in his name, he'd be here in the midst of us. He's waiting. So we can go out to the streets and everywhere, you know, like they're going out to get donations and people are getting saved. But, you know, you can invite someone to church and you can tell them we got hot music, but tell them God is going to touch them. We do have hot music. We got hot music. I like the way he says it. You like it. It's hot. Hey, well, you're bumping at all. But it's hot. Are you in 2 Kings? 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria, and he was a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, which was Naaman's wife, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothing. And we're going to stop the story there, because we've already made the point that we need to make. And that is, this little servant girl, she doesn't say, "You know, God is able to heal you." She says, "Too bad you ain't with the prophet in Samaria, because if you were, he would heal you." Just that simple, just that plain, just that matter of fact. She ain't anybody special. She doesn't have, she's not a prophet. She doesn't get some special word from God. She's just a girl who has faith. In fact, she's saying it to her people who are taking her captive. But she seems to be okay with that. She seems to be probably well taken care of. The Bible says that Naaman was a good man. So he's taking care of her well after he stole her. She's doing well. She's probably doing better than, you know, some of the people that were killed. And she's like, "You know, I work and I'm well taken care of. I like this guy. Too bad you're in the with the prophet in Samaria, because you got leprosy and he'd heal you." Now, you can just write this down. In Luke 4:27, Jesus said this about this account with Naaman. He said, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." I want to say it again. There were many lepers in Israel, but none of them was cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian. So this little slave girl didn't say this based on the fact that everybody, this hundreds of people were coming to the prophet and they were just going away healed. No, she just took him as, he's a man of God. God's with him. Too bad Naaman ain't with him, because if he was, he'd be healed. You know what she did? She set up a miracle. She set this thing up. And that was the word of the Lord that Pastor Corey gave to this church. Go set up a move of God. It's there. I wrote this down. Are you going to believe when it starts happening, are you going to believe so it starts happening? Let me say that again. This is what I had in my heart when I was looking over these scriptures. Are you going to believe it when it starts happening, or are you going to believe it so it starts happening? Go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. You gonna believe when it starts happening? Are you gonna believe so it starts happening? He's asking us to have the faith, the simplicity, to have the simplicity of the gospel that this little slave girl had. Come to my church, you'll get healed. You guys excited? There's a method to this. It's God's method. It isn't just, you know, God's going to do it. Well, God does it through, he says, here's your part. Well, it's by faith. Well, yeah. And then what's our actions to it? Here, you know this story. There was the guy who was crippled. Let's just read it here. Mark 2, verse 1. And again Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Let me just, before I go any farther, people were saying that Jesus is in the house. Let me ask you, I'm saying this in a nice way. Are you guys telling people that Jesus is in the house? Say it again. You can tell them we got hot music. We got hot music. But more importantly, tell them Jesus is in the house. Immediately, many gathered together. That's the church growth program I want. Jesus in the house. Word gets out that Jesus is in the house and many gather. Right? Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Let me just say this. There are types and foreshadows in the Old Testament. There are types and shadows in Jesus' life too. This is an example of things he wants to happen, but it's also a type and a foreshadow. When Jesus is in the house and word gets out, there will not be room enough to receive them. So verse 2 again, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. You know what? There's always going to be people in the house, even when Jesus is there, that are reasoning. But you don't have to be one of them. So Jesus is looking at these guys and he sees their faith. And then there's other people in the house that are reasoning. So what kind of person are you? Are you the type that Jesus can see your faith? Or are you the type that's reasoning? Who am I? What? Who am I? Well, I don't know who I don't know. Who are we? Who am I? I don't know. How can this happen? This is whatever has been shall be. Are you reasoning? Because you don't, God doesn't. God expects you to use your brain for what it's there for, but he doesn't, after he's spoken, he doesn't like need your brain then to figure out what he said, to decrease it or to change it. He doesn't. He's got Genesis chapter 1 in his resume. He doesn't need you to figure it out. He doesn't need me to figure it out, right? How is this? God's like, I got Genesis chapter 1 on my resume. Don't worry about it. I can do it. Got it under control. Just trust me on this one. Just move out. Just do it. You know, to go to the other side, you got to move. The other side doesn't come to you. You know, I'm speaking figuratively, not figuratively, but
prophetically or whatever you want to say, I don't know, and symbolically, and when Jesus said, we got to go to the other side. And when they went to the other side, there was a storm, but when they got there, there was something there waiting for them. Jesus didn't say, wait, the other side is coming to us. No. He said, let's go to the other side. We got to go. We got to go do something. We got to be like these guys who ripped the roof off of our thinking. Amen? But there's real actions involved. Well, what if? What if what? Try again. You know, back when I was a kid and I used to skateboard, how I got better was failing more than I succeeded. You get better at doing a trick by failing it more than you succeed. If you're only doing stuff you always succeed at, it means you ain't trying anything hard enough. Hallelujah. Oh. Verse 6, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, which hopefully you're not doing right now. Why is he saying this? What did I do? Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that they all were amazed. And glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this.
God wants to do something amazing. God wants to do things that perplex the mind. Amen. He wants to do things where people say, we never seen anything like this before. He wants to bring people in from every background, atheists to Catholic, to Lutheran, to Methodist, to I don't know. And so they come in and they go, we ain't never seen it like this before. That's okay. That's okay. As long as they see Jesus. As long as Jesus is in the house. They can think I'm weird. They may think you're weird. But in the midst of it, they go, but Jesus is there. I saw Jesus do something. At the risk of sounding cocky, I'm not afraid. Let's do this. I say that in the context of hold on here a second. Let's see what God is doing. I don't know about this. We need a word from God if he's ready to do this. No, bring him in here. Tell him. I'm serious. Really, I am. He'll do it. He will. Go to Matthew 15. I'm ready for this, man. Born for such a time as this. I mean, you can pray for him too, or whatever, but just bring him in here. Well, yeah, there's Jeff Tate. Good to see you. He brings three people last week. One gets saved and the other one gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's pretty good. I like those statistics. That's good. Hallelujah.
He hasn't even been here. In how long, Jeff? Too long? Well, that works, but I wasn't going to say that. But it's been years. And I don't mean this in an ugly way on Jeff. I just meant, he is like, yeah, let's go to New Wine and bring a few friends. And one gets saved, the other one gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. The other one went, good. And the other one is already saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. And she got ministered to, and she got a word from the Lord. So both, all three of them, so God had something for all three of them. Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
And she'd been asking her to do it, and she wouldn't. I don't know why. And then the other guy, Kelly, at the end, he received the Lord. And then Monday, him and my roommate, Amanda, was here. We were talking Monday night. And Kelly said, we didn't pray by any specific fact at all.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that specifically. And he walked out of the service.
What a testimony of what I'm preaching here tonight. I didn't even think about this, but until I saw Jeff. But what a confirmation or testimony, whatever you want to call it, of what I'm talking about. Doesn't mean we're not going to go out doesn't mean you can't pray for people out in the highways and byways or your workplaces or whatever. God is going to do things there. But he's saying, bring them in here. Yeah. I had a I preached a message once when we were downstairs, and I had a message prepared, I thought, and I didn't touch it when I actually got there, and I was just speaking about what I'm seeing coming about this, and I kept using the word oasis. I used it numerous times. I never looked up the word oasis, but I was thinking about that again before I left. And so I looked it up and I wrote, the understanding that I had of the word was good. But then I looked it up and it was shouting ground. Listen to this. Oasis. Fertile land in a desert where the level of underground water rises to or near ground level, and where plants grow and travelers can replenish water supplies. Number two, a place or period that gives relief from troubling or chaotic situation. That was the word of that the Lord gave me, was an oasis. And it's not just a word just for us that but that is the truth for us, that he's saying, I want to make this an oasis. And I believe it is, but it's a fertile land in a desert where the level of underground water rises to or near ground level, and where plants grow and travelers can replenish water supplies. A place or period that gives relief from troubling or chaotic situations. Just get them here. I got boldness here. You know, this was a scripture that Pastor Corey went to, Luke 7, 22 and 23. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Go tell John the things you see and you hear. And that was the word to us. Go tell people. Go tell them that Jesus will heal them. Go tell them that they'll be set free. I said canvas the neighborhood to be before, and I didn't. And I was like, no, it's not canvas. And then that's the part that I played it. Casing the neighborhoods. I see you casing the neighborhoods. Saying that you're sick, you got mental problems in your family. Just bring them. It won't be a dead church anymore. You'll see explosions of the power of God. Hallelujah. We got hot music. We got fire. We got Jesus. Jesus is with us. He's with me. Once again, at the risk of sounding cocky, Jesus is with me. I know he's with me. I'm not saying he's not with you, but I just know he's with me. I sure do know too. It doesn't have anything to do with me. What I deserve or earned, definitely not. Go to Numbers chapter 13. Man, I tell you, we've done crusades, and you know, typically over in different countries, God moves. People come with. There's people there that come just to come and see. That's fine. You know, that's what they said to Nathaniel and the other disciples. You read John chapter 1. Could this be the Messiah? Come and see. It's all right. Come and see. Sorry if people come and see, but there's people also that come with a expectancy. God is going to move there. And you know what? God moves there. Have the faith of that little slave girl. Because there was, he doesn't need us to figure this out. There was lepers all over, but for some reason, this little slave girl didn't think like most Israel. She just said, too bad my master isn't with the prophet in Samaria because he would heal him. And so Naaman doesn't know any better. He probably assumes that a lot of people are getting healed and have gotten healed. So he goes and he gets a letter from the king of Syria and sends it and brings it to the king of Israel. Here, I've come to be healed. And the king, you know what he does? I didn't read it. The king rips his clothes and he says, am I God to make alive and to kill? And the prophet, and Elisha says, why did you rip your clothes? Just send them to me and he'll know there's a prophet in Israel. See, he knew there was faith there. He knew God was with them. But that doesn't mean everyone was getting healed around them because they didn't have this faith that this little slave girl set up in Naaman. You just go to the prophet and get healed. I'm just telling you, a lot of you would have a problem, and I'm not here to decipher or to go into all the details, but you'd have a problem with how the people esteem like Prophet George Davey in Tanzania, if you were there and saw it, but they get healed. They get healed. No one told them. They just like do stuff like stick their towels under his tires as they're driving over. And they get healed. Yeah. Yeah. Like Peter's shadow. Here's what God is saying, real deep, real deep. Not really, I'm being a little sarcastic. Let's just do this. Just do it. Don't think about it. Just do it. Just do it. Act like God is in the midst of you. Are you in Numbers 13? I'm not. I am on my notes, but I better go here. Woo! Let's start in verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses. Oh, he sends the 12 spies into the land of Israel to spy out the land because they're going to go in, because they're supposed to go and take the land. So he sends 12 spies, one man from every tribe to go and spy out the land. Verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. I love how they do this. They show them the fruit of the land and then give them a negative report. When they told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak." We know what God said, but we saw. We know what God, God said that, but we saw. Here's what we know now. We figured this thing out. Oh, have you? Verse 29, Amalekites dwell in the land in the south, and Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the man who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Then we saw the giants and the descendants of Anak that came up and, yeah, they said we're bugs in their sight. So they're having a pity party. And Caleb says the most loving thing you can say, "Shut your mouth and let's go." He didn't say that, but he quieted the people. "Shh, stop, let's go." Let's go to chapter 14, verse 6. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said, "Stone them with stones." Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle meeting before the children of Israel. So 12 spies, 10 of them had the report we have heard. Joshua and Caleb are like, if the Lord delights in us, let's ask ourselves that question. was the Lord delighted in them because they were just so wonderful, mature, and had pleased him so many times? No. But Joshua and Caleb said, he said to go. He loves us. We're his people. The Lord delights in us. He said, if the Lord delights in us, then he's going to give us the land. Can you say that the Lord delights in us? That needs to be a reality. Not based on what we've achieved or who you are or whatever. The Lord delights in us. Amen? Individually, and more along what we're talking about tonight, is corporately what he wants to do. He delights in us. Not because we've done everything perfect, but we're his people called by his name. And we're called to do what he's called us to do. And he set something before us and he says, here you go, do it. He delights in us. And I'm not going to go, well, I see and I think and no. This is what God has said. Let's do it. Right? Verse 11, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? When I read that question, how long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me? I thought of, you can write this down, Matthew 17:17, when the certain apostles were trying to cast that certain demon or demons out of that boy. And what was Jesus' response? Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. So when God sees unbelief, you know what he wants to ask us? How long? Well, I've given you the word, so when are you going to believe it? What? Next year? 2 years? How long? He's asking us the question, not for his sake, because he's not scratching his head going, I need an answer. He's asking us the question for us to ask ourselves the question, how long? What am I waiting for? Am I waiting to feel it? Am I waiting till I see it? How long? How long? In verse 24, he says, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he sent, and has descendants, and his descendants shall inherit it. He had a different spirit in him. Different doesn't mean odd. Different means different than the other people. The other spies analyzed it. They went by what they saw and now how I feel. Caleb said, God has spoken, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, there are more, but God is with us. Their protection is gone. God is with us. He had a different spirit. So God is calling us to have a different spirit. Once again, that doesn't mean an odd spirit, that we're just crazy. Different. He's not calling us to whatever this is, normal Christianity, right? I mean, normal in the sense of man's mind. Normal in God's mind. But he's not calling us to normality. He's calling us to be different. When you believe God, you're going to have a different way of thinking. A way that doesn't make sense to people. A way that people are going to go, no. But they're wrong. And you're right because you're agreeing with God. I know I seem a little bit forceful here, but that's how it's coming to me. go to Matthew 15.
I don't know. I mean, I've already preached the message. We're done. I'm just gonna. This is just extra credit here. I mean, I've given you. You got it. I mean, I don't need to give anything more, really. This is a mentality.
Are you there? Matthew 15, verse 30. Then great multitudes came to him, Jesus, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. There are more examples like this, but here we see Jesus goes up to a mountain, and people come bringing with them the sick, the maimed, the lame, the blind. You know what they're doing? The same thing that servant girl said or did. We're going to get you to Jesus because he's going to heal you. When some of those people wouldn't tried, maybe they couldn't, maybe they wouldn't have come or couldn't have come or wouldn't had the faith to come. Here were some people that believed enough to get them to Jesus. They were still amazed when they saw it. Whoa! It happened. Isn't that amazing how people are? How people are? They got the faith to get them there, but they're still amazed after it happens. Let me read that again. Then verse 30, then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Can you just get that picture in your head that that's what Jesus is going to do? Let me say it again. Jesus is with us. And if you don't believe that, I know he's with me. Not because I'm any better. I just know he's with me. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Amen. Where do you go with that now? The highways and the byways. So let's just take a second and see what God's let's just let this sink in. Let the word of the Lord sink in. I'll tell you something. God gave me this word and I studied it out a little bit more. Today, well, a couple minutes during the week. I studied more in the week, but I studied this out a couple minutes in the week and then some today. But God gave me this message in about 10 minutes last Sunday. I was like, he gave it to me on Sunday. Boom. I was like, I think Doyle's preaching. Well, he'll be ready if he doesn't show up. That wasn't my expectation, but I think God gave it to me, one, because it had to do with part of what Doyle said. The word that God gave him was, you were made for more than this. That was the initial word that he gave. Right? Right?
And in my mind, I'm going, how am I going to get there? Because there's so many cars. And then I thought, wait a minute, if this is God, he'll make a way for me to get this scooter. I went down the freeway, turned around, came back up the exit ramp. The light was red. There was not a car on the ramp. It was wide open. I had plenty of time to pull up and give her a lunch and talk to her. And she was just like, wow, that's the way I thought this. And today I was in a supermarket, and I was walking down the aisle, and I saw this lady, she was bald, and she had a scarf on her head, and the Lord told me that if I prayed for her, she would be healed. So I did, and I believe that she's going to be healed.
Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We just agree. She's healed. You know, we may not see her again, but as she recovers, and she can give the glory to God. Where was that at? Hmm. Good job. Amen. Amen. And so there'll be opportunities to minister out there, but I want to stress again, you get them to church, they're going to get saved, they're going to get healed, and they're going to be here, so they're going to have a higher chance of staying here. And it's not just about being here, it's about being somewhere. It's or at least somewhere good, I should say. And I believe this is somewhere good. It's a good thing I have that confidence. So, Father, let's just pray for a second. Father, I ask you to stir our hearts. And I ask God that you would just change a mentality wherever it needs to be changed. Lord God, that we're not waiting for the other side to come to us. We're going to the other side. We're walking there. We're going there ourselves. And we stir up the gift of God within us, as we're all called to be a light in darkness. We stir up the gift of God within us. We break out of any old ways of thinking. We do not have a grasshopper, bug, insect mentality. We got a God mentality. We got a different spirit because we believe God. Not what we deserve, not what we've earned. But by grace we are saved through faith, and that not out of ourselves. It is a gift of God. And so we say, thank you. Thank you, God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy is forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Just think about those words. Because when they sang those words at the appointed time, the glory of God came.